Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win today. So sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. And we're also brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is simplified. Head over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. And SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution over at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. And Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And, of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for the RSM recap, 2021 recap, and a preview of the abomination Brooks vs. Bryson thing going on Friday. So it's your boy, Boston Capper, and the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, what's up, baby?
How you doing, Boston Capper?
I'm hanging in there, brother. How about you?
we keep our promises on this show, and we said we were going to go out with a bang.
We did.
And we did. Taylor Gooch, 40-1.
Yeah, it's nice. It's definitely nice. And that it was a good identification by you too. Like, he was getting punished. Like, he was just a shorter on at a weaker field. Like, it makes no sense. Like, get after it.
Well, it turns out that probably should have been the only bet I made because I didn't hit much else on the week. But hey, you know, when you hit 40-1 on the winner, and
it don't matter.
That's pretty good. I mean, you got your pulse on social media. Were there a lot of Gooch tickets out there, or?
Yeah, there was a fair amount. You know what's funny is our friend of the podcast, Andy Lack, is a big fucking Gooch guy, and didn't bet him.
Oh, no.
Oh, and it's funny. I heard one of his podcasts, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about just like, you just got to continue investing guys you believe in so you don't miss when he hits. And I saw his post, and I was like, oh, that poor prick.
Andy, if you're listening to this, I've been on that end a lot this year, as we'll go over in the year recap on some of our the bad beats. But yeah, I mean, listen, Taylor Gooch is great. Like, and like you said, I didn't understand why he was getting punished in the odds board, because he was knocking on the door all fall. He finished T4 out of Napa, T11 at Shriners, T5 at CJ Cup. I mean, the T11 in Mayakoba was misleading because he was basically right there. He just screwed the pooch on the back nine, and then that random 60th at Houston. And He was knocking on the door all year.
Yeah. Well, not all year. He's a good young golfer, man. Like, his name is fun. And dude, I used to play him in my dumpster dive shit. Like there's a long history of fucking me with Gooch, man.
Yeah. I think you played him at the Players and he finished like top 10 there. And he did the sub 7,000 there. So, listen, good for him. He gets job security. That's kind of the point of these fall series events, in that, you know, you get some lesser fields and a lot of the Corn Ferry guys end up getting points, and you see a guy basically, you know, get that big win, that breakthrough win, and kind of secure his job. But so there's rumblings going on about how this fall series might be going away next year. Did you hear anything of that?
No, I saw some blurbs about they're up in the money. all that bullshit. But
that's the combat the PGL and the Saudi League.
Right.
The PGA Tour's answer to all their problems, which
is more money.
Yeah, just keep more money to the players. Don't improve the quality product for us.
No, absolutely not. They released their their schedule on who gets what events and shit. I'm like, this is absolute garbage. Right.
Yeah, they're not thinking about us. They're thinking about
PGA Tour put out something. It was like, we're going to try to make it much better viewing for our fans this year. And like the comments were just fucking amazing. Like no one believes you.
They can't control it. It's up to NBC and CBS. Basically, with all their obscene fees they're paying for the PGA Tour, they have to have ads every 5 minutes.
5 minutes. At least once again, this is how beat down we are. The fact that I enjoy the playing through. So like I can at least watch some golf while they're playing the ads on the split screen. Like that's been a godsend. Like it's ridiculous. That fact that I appreciate that tells you how bad it is.
Well, I mean, so that was the last gasp for NBC Gold, by the way. For PGA Tour Live, it switches over to NBC or ESPN Plus, which I think is going to be good. I liked when ESPN got involved with the PGA Championship. It's good. But anyways, back to my point about the fall series. What's going to happen is the scuttlebutt is they're taking that team event idea from the PGL, which is awesome and that we all want, and they're going to basically screw it up.
Of course.
The fall series is probably going to turn into that, like a six-event thing. Fine. But what I'm wondering, though, is kind of like, I mean, a lot of these Korn Ferry guys who graduate, they really use this time in order to get like a foothold and get some points and get the car. Like, it's kind of wonder what's going to happen with them at that point. So
I don't know. I like Billy Ho's idea as far as not making it so fucking watered down, man. Cut the field down every fucking week. Like, who cares? Like,
yeah, Billy Horschel will really rise up my power ranks.
I knew he would.
Yeah.
I knew he would.
So, they're talking about
on PGA Tour radio, which, by the way, the fact that I listen to that, it's some of the worst, blandest commentary. And every time I put it on, I'll listen to it for like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, I don't know how fucking anybody can listen to this. And like, how do you reach anybody who's not 65 years old fucking listening to that shit?
Well, that's the point. People are 65 and older.
Fucking terrible.
That's the thing. So, all right, listen, you know, congratulations, Taylor Gooch.
Yeah, man.
That's if anybody else is on him who listened to us. Let's go over a couple of other things, you know, with the DFS report card. So over $10,000, there were four guys who were really popular. You had Cam Smith at about 25%, Scottie Scheffler at about 20%, Louis to 18%, and Webb at 18%.
Louis fucked so many people.
Oh my God, that was a disaster. Yeah. I loved Louis last week, and he came out and just did not look. Well, he started off okay, and then he hit into the marsh on 5.
Mm-hmm, that was right.
That was basically it. And then he woke up on Friday and saw the weather was awful and said, yeah, well, my neck hurts. I think I'm just going to go back to South Africa and, you know.
Came back to Ocala.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, I mean, Webb Simpson did Webb Simpson things. He finished 6th in DraftKings scoring. Unfortunately, I had him in a matchup over Cam Smith, and I think I saw Webb Simpson miss a billion putts under 10 feet.
Cam Smith was doing the same thing on fucking Friday.
Yeah, and Cam Smith played pretty well. So, I mean, with Webb, though, this is kind of becoming a little bit of a trend. He hit the ball
slow.
Well, he started slow, but he hit the ball awesome all week. He gained 4 strokes tee to green, lost strokes putting.
Crazy.
Which, if you told me Webb Simpson was getting... Well, if you told me Webb Simpson was getting 4 strokes tee to green at the RSM, I would think he would shoot like 30 under.
Right, exactly.
Because, I mean, he's not going to lose like strokes on Bermuda greens, and he did. But Cam Smith is great. I mean, I was wrong on that. I ate crow. You know, props to our boy.
I cashed a nice top 10 on him.
Yep. You know, props to our boy Brian Kirshner, too. He loved Cam Smith, and he was right. Hey, you know, that was the way to go. So, and then Harris English at 10-1. He missed the cut. He's been bad. Sniffed that out. That was a good call.
Yeah. It's the putter, man. Like, you know how mental these guys are. Like,
I know.
Crazy.
It's nuts. So, all right. $9,000 range. You know, I mean, the only one was really Taylor Gooch. You know, he was first. I mean, Taylor Gooch basically did exactly how he's been doing lately. He lost strokes off the tee, gained everywhere else, and he finally decided, you know, he putt well this week, and that was the difference. So, congrats to him. Other than that, though, $9,000 range didn't do very well. Russell Henley's 25th in DraftKings scoring at 23% ownership. Not great. I had a top 10 prop on him, and he was sniffing around most of the weekend. He just couldn't get it. Same there with Corey Connors. He was sniffing, too. And
dude, Corey Connors, like, I think – was he a Thursday or Friday? Put like 8 shots within like fucking like 5 feet of the fucking pin and missed 2 of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, Corey Connors did Corey Connor
pick. I was like, holy shit.
His ball striking. He lost strokes putting and not.
Yeah. Missing, Corey Connors. Missing little bunny putts, man. Fucking
yeah, up. Well, I mean, that's why you only bet him top 10. Just because I know he can't do it on and around the greens. There's no point betting an outright on him because he's just going to mess it up. So other than that, though, I mean, Adam Scott was very good. There was the civil war of Kevin Kisner this week. People who just trusted the course history and people who looked at the stats. I trusted the course history and he got burned. He was abysmal.
Yeah, terrible.
Absolutely abysmal. Yeah. So, hey, it is what it is. Alex Noren also was getting some hipster love. He was terrible this week, too. I didn't get that. I know he'd been good at RSM, but that might be a little few. And then Joaquin Neiman, continually do Joaquin Neiman things. We both said he was overpriced and he was abysmal again. So, we'll see. You know, 8,000-hour range. My big short was Joel Damon. He was 18% owned and finished 34th in DraftKings scoring. Whatever. I think he said I predicted he was going to finish outside top 50. Finished 31st. My point was proven.
Yeah, I thought that was a fine. I'll give you the W on that one.
Okay, there you go. Chris Kirk, also the most popular and our popular guy. He was bad. I was on him. That was Kirk. I took him in a matchup over Seamus Power, and that was over after the first time. Yeah, it's a good thing I hit Taylor Gooch outright because everything else is really bad.
I had a couple matchups. Cam Smith. I mean, if it wasn't the Gooch.
You had a good week.
Until I do a capper doing capper things. Just fucking
throwing.
Yeah, exactly.
In golf, you had a good week.
I actually did all right in the NFL, too. I had a decent week overall this week. So.
Okay. There you go.
Long too for the top 20 at fucking plus 350 came through for me as well.
Yeah, there you go. I love Mackenzie Hughes this week. He finished second. I had a top 20 on him too. So
man, I thought he was gonna take it, man. He looked real good. But he missed a ton of putts on Saturday.
Yeah,
and Friday.
He was dialed on Sunday too.
I know.
Well, that was the thing. Like you texted me in the morning. You're like, Hughes is 5 back, he's gonna do a shot. I'm like, dude, he hit the ball awesome on Saturday. He lost strokes putting. That's going to reverse up. And it did. What are you doing round 4? So Hughes gained 3 strokes putting.
We hit Gooch. But I think we both had fucking him at long odds.
That was the beauty of it. So I had Gooch outright. I had Hughes outright. And then I live bet Seamus Power at 28 on Friday. Yeah. So I was golden.
Yep.
As long as Sebastian Munoz or Tom Ogi didn't mess things up,
Munoz is not climbing the board and close.
That was a very comfortable sweat on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's always good to have that comfortable sweat. Absolutely. Now when that you had the top 3 guys or the only guys going to win, like, and you're guaranteed at least 28.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's happy.
I mean, the only other thing to note of the 8,000 race, and besides Seamus Power, he was great. Again, I was wrong on him. He was 4th in scoring. He was good. Justin Rose finished T12 quietly.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually been playing a little better lately. So, you know, that he might be someone to watch early next year just to see if he's got, I don't know, something. I mean, look.
He's 28. He's 28 at the Hero.
What's that?
He's 28-1 at the Hero.
Yeah. He does have a Morgan Stanley commercial he filmed there. Actually,
Does he play there all the time?
Well, he lives there. He lives in Albany. Yeah. So.
Does he really?
Not Albany, New York, where I'm from. Albany, Bahamas. That's much nicer.
So, I was like, wait, what?
No, he doesn't live in New York State.
I was like, why the fuck would he live in Albany?
He's got a place in the Bahamas. Gotcha. So, okay. So, we'll see him there, and we'll talk about him probably next week. 7,000-hour range. Denny McCarthy was the biggest own at 14%. He paid you off. He was 11th in scoring. He was great on the weekend. Other than that, though, you got Luke Litz finished 10th in scoring. Charles Howell III. That was a guy I should have been on. Like, he always does well at Sea Island. And other than that, though, people went back to Robert Streb because wasn't he good at Mayakoba or something? Yeah, and he's just a fighting champion. Yeah, that didn't work well. Kuchar was disappointing. He didn't. My boy from Rochester, Alex Smalley, traitor, did not live up to my expectations. Neither did Hayden Buckley. He missed the cut in the number.
Yeah, I yelled at you about
it. What are you going to do? I think who else missed the cut of the number? Somebody else I like too.
Yeah.
I think Chad Ramey maybe missed the cut of the number. So, this Aaron Rye, though, we both liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Top 20. He was actually outside the top 20, I think, going to the last couple holes.
Yeah,
and he
back 9 on Sunday,
3 straight birdies to close it, and he got the top 20 for us. So Thank you for that. Sebastian Munoz, third in DraftKings scoring. It wasn't really on my radar, but, you know, he was $7,300, very low owned. I think he was probably the most valuable player of anybody.
Probably.
Yeah, because he was only 1.8% owned, and he came in third. So that's good. And then under $7,000, I'm kicking myself because when I updated the stats after the RSM, Tom Hoagie was a guy I really liked, like, or just looked good. And I had no exposure to him. And I don't think the guy I mentioned in the DFS show, but that should have been the guy I picked out because, I mean, it's a short course and doesn't really dominate there. Other than that, though, you in passing after Adam Schenck with Drew.
Oh, I know.
You're like, oh, I don't know, Zach Johnson? I don't even know. 20th in DraftKings score.
I know. How about that? Dude, he always has a good Thursday, Friday, and it just fades over the weekend. I wonder what.
Yeah,
I wonder
Saturday, what it is. Yeah, Sunday, he was okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, listen, that is pure go with your gut right there.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Zero exposure, by the way. Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, Wyndham Clark, 15th in scoring because he shot a 60 on Sunday. That saved you if you used him. Bunch of other scrubs down the bottom that we're talking about. So I'm gonna put the RSM to bed, before we go to break, I'm gonna spring something on you.
Oh god.
Something that just came to mind now we're talking about Albany. The Hero World Challenge is Tiger's event.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you saw on social media.
Of course.
All the rage about hitting a 75% wedge.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Dude, the guy just fucking had leg surgery and everything that's gone wrong with him. It's nice to see him out, at least on the range, swinging a club.
What do you think of the people that rushed the bet him 35-1 to win the Masters?
Well, that's dumb.
That's very dumb.
Very, very dumb.
I think we're going to be lucky to see him at the Masters.
Yeah, but, well, here's the thing. I mean, let's say we see him at the Masters. The book's probably going to hang him at a shorter number than 35.
They're going to have to.
Because they know. So much money. I guess what I'm saying. So maybe 30. Maybe it's not a dumb play. As long as it's a has to play to make a bet. Listen, if you want to bet.
Okay.
If you want
I'm going to make a progress. He's not winning the fucking Masters.
Okay.
I mean, don't waste your money.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay, if someone wants to, if he ends up winning, someone wants to come back and play this, fine. I don't give a shit.
That's fair enough.
All right.
That's definitely fair.
Cole takes, but the dude shattered his leg in February. He's had 15 back surgeries. Yeah. Like, he's 45 years old. Like, this, like, maybe people want to draw the comparison. Oh, well, Phil won at 50, won the PGA. Phil, name the major injury Phil had.
He almost went to jail for insider trading.
Okay, but that's not an injury.
Mental injury.
Not a physical injury. Okay. And Tiger has some mental injuries too, by the way. So
yeah, no shit.
So anyways, like, look, anything more that we get from Tiger is gravy at this point. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy it.
Yeah, but like when he comes back though, at like, I don't know, maybe the Memorial.
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable timeline for him. Like if he missed the cut, don't freak out. Whatever, just enjoy the fact that you got to watch Tiger Woods play golf again after he should have probably killed himself by driving off a goddamn cliff.
Yeah, that's a level-headed take, Steve. Yeah,
thank you. Well, that's why I'm you know, when you're off Twitter, you tend to make level-headed takes. So. All right, why don't we take a break and then we'll jump to the 2021 recap.
All right, sounds good. All right, ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we are bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet a buck to win 100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to a $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make your first deposit of $20 or more. So whatever your wager is, WynnBET will match it 200%. Example, if you bet $100, they'll give you a $200 free bet. Max wager is $750, so a $1,500 match. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET, from boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport. We have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com.
All right, time to go down memory lane, boss man.
Memory lane.
Don't you you love it when I test your memory too,
right? Oh yeah, my memory is so sharp. I know.
All right, so why don't we start with just who won some tournaments during the year.
Okay,
you know, we'll give you a nice little quiz, you know, we'll test you a little bit, see how sharp your memory is. So let's start with some easy ones.
Okay.
Who won the four majors this year?
Well, there's more than four majors.
No.
Oh, we're just doing this year.
Just doing from January 1st, 2021. Not going back to the fall.
All right. So Phil, Decky, Rahm. Oh, are we counting fucking? Wait. Yeah.
Oh, the Open.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Maury.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. All right. Do you finish second in each of those?
In each of them?
Yeah, in each of them.
Oh, like each one. I was like, the same person didn't finish second in each of them. So Xander at the Masters.
It was not Xander at the Masters.
Oh, that's right. He put the ball in the water. Yeah. I forgot about that. Who fucking came in second then?
Will Zalatoris.
Oh, Will Z. That's right.
Yeah, he played awesome. And so Brooks, we got all jazzed about him. He was putting awesome. And then it's been rough times for Will Z lately.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so on the Open, it was Louis?
No, it wasn't. Louis shot, I think, 70.
Oh, that's right.
No, it was Spieth.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a three-horse race between Spieth, Louis, and Morikawa, with Rahm maybe kind of.
Yeah, he wasn't really in it.
He wasn't really in it, so.
And Brooks at PGA.
And Louis. Louis also finished second at the PGA.
And then the U.S. Open was Louis again.
Second there, too.
So yeah. Crazy.
We'll get to Louis in a little bit. He'll be part of another segment we're going to do. All right. Players Championship. Who won that? Your backyard.
JT.
Yeah, we both had him at 20-1. Yeah. That was the auto bet. I think everyone just auto bet.
Yeah, that was a community ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very fun Sunday, by the way, besides the fact that we won. But yeah. I mean, listen, like you had Bryson doing his thing, really surprised me for doing well at, you know, didn't think he could bomb and gouge a Pete Dye golf course, but he did. You know, Lee Westwood, you know, got me a little excited. I love Lee.
I know you do.
But now JT Kenneth winning. All right. This is a controversial one. The Memorial, who won?
Fucking Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm won that fucking tournament.
That's correct.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
I'll give you that. Jon Rahm won the Memorial.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Who won the Genesis Riviera? This is a tough one.
I don't remember.
Okay. Playoff. It's a really good playoff.
What was the month?
It's February.
I don't remember.
All right. So Tony Finau lost in the playoff. We all ragged on him. This was
He lost to Burns, right?
No.
No, Burns melted it away. Was it Cam Smith? No.
Max Homa.
Oh, God, dude.
Yeah. And it looks like Max Homa. He put it next to the tree.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
It's like, Finau's going to win. Yep. And I think Finau bungled the hole. He should have buried it. He didn't.
Should have buried it.
Homa had a miraculous recovery.
Oh, it was like a backwards, backwards iron, chipped it onto the green.
Oh, yeah. It was great. That was a great tournament. We'll talk about
that. Yeah, Burns and Cam Smith both should have won that tournament.
Talk about, there's some disappointing bets we are both going to talk about later.
Awesome.
Burns might make that list for me. Arnold Palmer won that. Bay Hill.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, I mean, it was a social media just bonanza that week for what a certain player did.
I don't fucking remember. As soon as you tell me, I'll remember.
Can I give you a hint?
Sure.
Driving over the lake.
Oh, fucking Bryson.
Yeah. Bryson. I mean, that was pretty cool, but
that was a fucking logo now.
Well, it's funny because it was a Bryson versus Lee Westwood showdown at Bay Hill. And then the very next week at the Players, it was the same thing.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. All right, let's go over the WGCs. Who won concession?
Oh, I do. Wait, didn't I have to take it on concession?
A what?
I'm just talking to myself. The
OK,
fuck. Who the hell won concession? I love that tournament. I literally wrote it down as what I loved, and now I can't. Now I'm blanking on it. Was it Morikawa? It was Morikawa.
It was Morikawa.
Yeah. Okay.
My worst take of the year, by the way.
What was?
It was Morikawa was not going to win concession because they're really fast, undulating greens. I didn't care how good of a ball strike it was, and he was awesome that week.
Yeah.
Definitely my worst take of the year.
Yeah.
All right. Who won match play?
Oh, Billy O.
Yeah. Who did he beat in finals?
Fuck. What's his name? Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, Scheffler.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the RSM, by the way. Big disappointment with the RSM.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Shut yeah.
I know. So we both love Scheffler that week. I think when we went through our bracket, we're like, Scotty Scheffler. I think I picked him to win the event. Yeah. I didn't bet him out because I would just bet like just
right, we were betting
all the matches. Yeah. I did pretty well.
No, we did good that weekend.
Yeah. All right. WGC FedEx St. Jude. This was a rough one for me.
What course?
That's TBC Southwind, Memphis. I was at the NASCAR race at Watkins Glen that week. I was like, do not tell me what's happening. I'm gonna
watch it. Yeah.
Drunk ass spoiled it for me.
I did, but I didn't understand the text. But now I can't even remember who the fuck won. I don't remember.
So it was a playoff. So it looked like it was going to be Harris English and who I bet Bryson.
Then it was Harris and the kid.
Harris and Bryson both hit into the water. I think Bryson shot like a 42 in the back.
Bryson blew it. It was another blow up for Bryson. But was it Hickok? What the hell was his name?
No, that was the Travelers.
Travelers, that's right.
No, so it was a three-way playoff between Hideki, Sam Burns, your winner, Abe Anser.
Yeah.
First win for Abe Anser.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's get some harder ones.
Jesus
let's
really Christ. Catch. Fine.
Sony Open. Won that one.
I don't remember a thing about the Sony Open. Not a fucking thing.
All right. Kevin Na won it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Like, when you tell me that shit, here's the thing. I'm the same way with, like, jersey numbers. Like, I don't remember jersey numbers. Like, I don't remember names. These names don't mean shit to me. Like, I won't remember. Like, the week I focus on it is fine. That's why I'm always like, worldwide pants, whatever the fuck we're playing this week.
So that was the week that Joaquin Niemann went on, like, a little, like, two-week run where he should have won Tournament of Champions.
Is that the one where he was hanging out with Sergio at the picnic bench and didn't go to the driver?
No, that was Kapalua. The very next week he played, he should have won that. I think he blew it down the stretch there, too. This was also the event that Chris Kirk got his tour card back.
Yeah,
that started, like, a 10-week run where I just started missing Chris Kirk because I felt bad for him. All right, let's move this along a little bit. We're not going to do all these. Honda Classic, who won that?
Was that Matt Jones?
That was Matt Jones.
Yeah, baby, I hit that weekend. That's why
it was windy.
Yeah, I got first round leader and winner.
I forgot it. God, that was a really good week for you. I forgot about that.
Yeah, man.
I think I went like, I think I bet like 8 head-to-heads on Saturday and they all hit. Nice. That was a good weekend for me, too. Yeah. All right, Zurich Classic. Team event.
Oh, the team event was Leishman and Smith.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So technically, Leishman and Smith both got wins.
Because I had that. I had that one too.
All right. Colonial, Charles Schwab Challenge, you won that.
I don't remember.
So this started the joke that Jason Kokrak is from Texas.
Oh, was this Kokrak?
And he won. And it was Kokrak. He won. Nice. Really good year for Kokrak.
Oh, great year for Kokrak, man. Yeah. 3 fucking wins?
3 wins in a calendar year.
3 wins?
Well, not quite a calendar
year. But yeah.
CJ Cup was October. So three wins basically in a year.
Fuck yeah. It's awesome.
Pretty good. The Barbasol Championship.
Oh, fuck you. It was Seamus Power because that's the one I wasn't in on because I was too busy watching the fucking Open.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
Yeah, thanks, Dick.
All right, pal.
Fucking. It was mean, man.
All right. And then probably the one that triggered us both, 3M Open.
Oh, Scam Champ.
Scam Champ.
Scam Champ.
Just, and you were complaining. You saw all the tickets on Camp Champ. And you were so pissed. Like, why? What do we miss? I'm like, dude, it's the same dummies who bet Camp Champ every single tournament.
I was on tilt. I was on full tilt.
I know you were on tilt. Yeah. I think I had like, I lied that I think the guys were like third, fourth.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I'm through. So, all right. That's a little first part of our mini year review. Why don't we take another break and then we'll get to guys who, ended the year, basically on top of their game.
There we go. All right. So listen, we're brought to you by PropSwap. It's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bet. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying them directly from other bettors like yourself. So you bet you like, but think the price is too high, submit a bid price that you think is fair, and then go buy it. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap, America, is where America buys, goes to buy and sell sports bets.
All right.
I'm going to, because I know Mush is listening, I just want to tell him that I want to thank him for this terrible Providence College basketball bet. Since I had nothing to do tonight, I decided to bet on that piece of shit. That's going to lose.
Oh, how are they doing?
They're down 15. They're down 15.
Oh, okay. Good job coming because of Mush.
Thanks, Mush.
They're playing Virginia, right? This was probably like 7-2. And it's over because Virginia.
Oh, it's 40-25.
Ooh, that's really bad.
Yeah, it's real bad. Thanks, Mush.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, listen, that some of that Taylor Gooch money comes off right there.
Same right. Like I didn't get it all back.
So why don't we get over guys that like basically the year's over? Like there's a couple Euro Tour events going on, which, by the way, we didn't even cover. Colin Morikawa won.
I know, man. What? How ridiculous. And how cool were those trophies? He gets a scepter. Scepter.
I know.
I want a scepter. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, listen, now it's the DP World Tour. They do it right, by the way. They don't have this BS contrived, like, playoff system. They have basically, okay, we're going to play out the tournament, and then whoever has the most points wins. And it was already a foregone conclusion. Morikawa won. Now, if you want to say it's a joke, the fact that Colin Morikawa, who played three official European Tour events and finished 60th or worse in all of them, but the fact that he won the WGC concession and the Open, he wins.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
Why does the concession count for that?
It's WGC. Yeah, they all count. So, but I mean, I got up early. Rory, and we'll talk about him in a little bit.
did you see that? They ripped his shirt and shit.
Well, it was the 15th hole, and he stopped the wedge, but hit the pin and bounced back into the bunker. And he bogeyed, and then he three-putt the next hole, and it was over.
Love it.
That's why he ripped the shirt. He should have won that tournament.
Love it.
But regardless, we'll talk about it a little bit. So, top 10 of guys who... So I tracked everybody's last 50-ish rounds. It's just basically how I do it. It's not perfect because otherwise, if I did 50 for everybody, it would be a nightmare to update every week. So it's 50-ish. It's as close as I can get. So guys have gained the most strokes per round over the last 50 rounds just right now. And these are technically the hottest golfers going next year. So number 10, Louis Oosthuizen gave a 1.18 strokes tee to green. So let me ask you, we talked about him earlier. T2 at the PGA, second at the U.S. Open, T3 at the Open Championship, where he had the 54-hole lead.
I know he did.
Which one was the one that got away from him? Which one should he have won?
I say the U.S. Open.
I agree. Yeah. He only needed to shoot 2 under that day.
Yeah, I'd say the U.S. Open. Because he didn't play well at the Open, at the British Open.
He had the 54 hole lead, but Morikawa just took it.
That's what I'm saying. On Sunday, he didn't play well on Sunday. So, and it was tight, right? And then, like, I mean, dude, fucking the PGA Championship, like, unstoppable force, like that day. Like, what are you gonna?
Yeah, like, I mean, Phil was after 14 holes. Phil was up 5 on Louis. Yeah, like after Louis put in the water in 14,
it's over. Yeah.
So I agree.
He still even had a chance on fucking 18 at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, if he hit the eagle putt, he would have.
No, he didn't even need the eagle.
Chippy would have had a playoff.
Right. But he didn't put himself in such a bad position. Then he fucking laid up. Like, what are you doing? Listen, I know I think we already argued about this. But the point is you had a win. So fucking, you know, if you lay up, you're going to have to chip it in. Fuck off. Go for the green.
Oh, whatever. Why are you mad? You hit Rom 10-1. That was your football bet.
Yeah, I know. As a fan, I thought it was a pussy move. That's all.
All right. Number 9. Jordan Spieth, which is surprising.
Yeah, baby, let's go.
So here's the thing. He did not end the year very well, and we haven't seen him since Tour Championship. So when we last left off with Jordan Spieth, his ball striking had turned back into a pumpkin. He was awful again. So I guess are you concerned about Spieth coming in? Or was it just like a little bit of a bad? Just like, has he actually figured things out?
I think he fixed it. And I'm also biased. Because I said he was going to fix it coming into the year.
That is true.
So now I am what you call take committed, and that I shall say.
Am I vindicated for Ricky Fowler because he almost won the season?
Absolutely fucking not. we'll talk about him in a later segment.
All right, that's a big reach. Number eight, Sungjae Im. He's been good lately, and I know you might be, a little skeptical of this.
Yeah.
But going back to the FedEx Cup, T16 in Northern Trust, third of the BMW, T20 at the Tour Championship. That's garbage. But then he went T31 Sanderson, wins CJ Cup T9, Houston Open T19. That's mostly why he's up here. His ball striking has been pretty good, man.
I think it's just scat tissue. Like, listen, we all have guys we got scat tissue with, and we call him knucklehead for a reason, man. Like, he's a terrifying guy to fucking bet on. But you're not wrong. I love Sungjae forever, and then I just kept getting burned over and over and over and over again by him. So
yeah, I mean, I think we all remember this kid too. He finished second at the Masters.
Yeah, so. He's probably. Well, how old is this kid? He's like fucking 22.
He's like 23 or 24. Yeah. Plays every week. They all want to joke about that on Peaches Tour Live when they say it. So he's like, oh, he lives out of his suitcase, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Number seven, Cam Smith. Got a lot of close calls with him.
I lost. I had the Cam Smith ticket with Finau finally.
Let's save that for a little bit. But, his last few starts, T4 of the RSM, T9 of the CJ Cup, second of the Northern Trust. We saw about T5 at the FedEx St. Jude. Knocking on the door. I think he's going to be a really popular outright pick.
As he should be. I think he's going to get multiple. He's going to get multiple wins this year. Multiple.
Wow.
Yeah, multiple.
Over, under 1.5?
Over. All day. All day. I'm telling you.
Proclamation.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Dude, I think he's live at the Masters.
Hey, he's very good at the Masters, so we'll see. I think he's... if it's one of those easier scoring Masters, probably not, but if it's a little crispier, yeah, maybe. All right, number six, and this is a strange one because we haven't seen him lately. Daniel Berger.
Okay, that makes sense. What do you want? Well, he won twice last year, right?
So technically his 50 rounds don't include the Pebble Beach, which is actually where he won. But, look over his results. It's been pretty good. So T9 at the Players, T3 at the Byron Nelson, T7 at the U.S. Open, T8 at the Open, which actually doesn't even include these stats. And then it's a T11 at the Tour Championship, but technically he finished like 8th because of the
swing. So yeah.
What's weird about him, though, is he was hitting the ball so good. Like, I think, and our friend of the program, Jeff Nagels, was railing about this. Like, apparently Daniel Berger was the best iron player over the last few years. Well, it's actually true. Really? Statistically, he was. Now, we know that's not really true. It's Colin Morikawa.
Exactly.
But statistically, he was hitting the shit out of his irons. The thing with Berger, though, his putter completely went away. Mm-hmm. Like, his last three strokes, he gained well over 2.5 strokes tee to green at the Northern Trust, but lost 5 strokes putting that week.
Yep.
He lost strokes putting at the Tour Championship, lost strokes putting in the BMW Championship. He also was pretty bad at the Ryder Cup. But, that was, his first time. I don't know. Yeah, but
it's fine.
I mean, that's a pretty solid year for him.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Now we get to Rory. 5th, which is strange because we are so critical about Rory.
Yeah.
But again, looking at him, his last 50 rounds, he's got 2 wins. He came T4 at the Olympics, which, that was a night. That was a top heavy field. There's a lot of good names there.
Doesn't count.
4th at BMW Championship, T6 at the DP World Championship. He could have won the U.S. Open too. He was a co-leader after 9. Or no, I think he was. I think he was co-leader after 7. He had a shot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we have this perception about Rory that he's slumping, right?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, he has more wins than JT over the last 6 months.
JT's slumping.
More wins than DJ.
Well, DJ.
More wins than
DJ. DJ won the green jacket. He does not give a fuck anymore.
Okay, he's got more wins than Bryson.
Yeah. Bryson's
more wins. More wins than Rom. He does. Rom's only won once.
No. sir. He has not.
Oh, he's won once.
No.
Officially, no. He's won once.
He has won twice.
All right. Well, the Sports Almanac disagrees with you because
I don't give a fuck what Biff's Sports Almanac says. Capper's Almanac says he's won twice.
All right. Yeah, you live your own truth, buddy. All right. So number four, Sam Burns, probably the hottest golfer right now of everybody. Yeah. He's been awesome. I think that's your guy who's going to win multiple times next year.
I think he'll win multiple times too. I think when I was looking at who's won over the last, I don't know, whatever, like a little bit, I'm like, I don't know how many of these like rando winners we're going to have. Like, I feel like quality golfers have been winning a lot lately.
I think that's why a lot of people have been hitting outrights, because like the sweet spot for outrights is like between like 25 to like 50. And all those guys have been winning lately. Like Kokrak was 50. Gooch was 40. Yeah. Sungjae was like 30. Sorry, I think Homa was like 30 when he won a Fortinet. I mean, Burns was the big favorite at Sanderson, but I mean, everyone's been Burns. It's funny though. So like you mentioned the Genesis, he was 100-1 there.
I know.
I think when he won at Valspar, he was 65-1.
Yeah.
I doubt.
We'll never see that again.
Under 40 at any other event.
Or
over 40. I mean.
Oh, so like I don't know. I know I have them all plus 50 at the Masters, PGA. And the U.S. Open.
All right, we'll save that combo. We're going to do a majors preview.
Okay.
So we'll save it for them. But yeah, I would say if you see a number over 70 on Burns, probably at the U.S. Open PGA. I don't think the Masters are open for him, but PGA or U.S. Open, you see a number over 70, I would hit it.
Yeah,
all right. And then your top three dogs, it's no surprise. Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, the fact he hasn't won, he only won once this calendar year is kind of shocking.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's because it's blow up back nines, man.
And his fucking wedges suck.
Do suck.
God, they suck.
We'll save the conversation about Bryson for a little later. And then John Rahm is only second on this list because he went over to Spain, didn't play well, but he probably was the best player in 2020. Well, I
guess. Yes, he
was. Actually, I wouldn't say that. I think there's another golfer who's better than
him. I agree, actually. So it's between two guys.
Yeah. And then number one, Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, fucking Christ, gross. Yeah. Morikawa's not on that list?
So Morikawa's on the list because remember that really bad stretch he had?
Yeah.
Like FedEx, that's why from Stur's game, he's not there. And technically, how I capture this, it's only shot link data and the Open's not on there either. But
yeah,
okay. I mean, he's the fact that he was dog shit for four tournaments and like dead last in all of them, he's 12th on my list. Like, that's how good he's been.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll take an hour break, and then we'll do a little superlatives.
All right, sounds good. Listen, you guys heard about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and you will too. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar plays as well as the bench plays, only recording a handful of minutes. All of our users that deposit and use promo code SGP will receive 100% deposit match up to $100. All you do is you pick 2 to 5 players with an over and under on their projections, and you win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the numbers. Prize Picks allows you to mix sports entries as well. You can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play, and entries can be made in less than 60 seconds. It's that simple. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Go check out prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP to get 100% instant deposit match up to your $100, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
All right. Why don't we kick it off with you? Mm. So I think we're both going to land on the same golfer for golf MVP, but I'll let you go first. Who's your MVP golfer for 2021?
So I was going to go Rahm, but it's Morikawa.
Yeah,
it's Morikawa.
He was awesome this year.
Like, I mean, I think every tournament he's going to be in, I'm going to football bet or double football bet him every time.
Yeah. So that weird stretch I made reference to earlier. So it's when he injured his back. So he went T26 of the FedEx, caught in the Northern Trust, T63 of BFW, which basically is DFL, and then T26 of Tour Championship DFL. But other than that, though, won the DP World Championship, won the Open Championship, won a concession, second place at Memorial, second place at CJ Cup, top 10 at Zozo, T4 at the U.S. Open, you know, top 10 at the PGA, T18 the Masters in his first crack.
Nope.
Kid was a stud.
Dude, absolute fucking stud.
Yeah. No, he's, and any time he can putt competently, he wins. Oh,
he wins. Yeah. Yeah. He's a fucking, he's the stud of studs of the young group.
So is he going to win the career Grand Slam?
I mean,
I think he will.
He has a shot.
I think he will. I mean, I think he can win Brookline. I think that's a golf course for him.
Did you get tickets for that? Did you put yourself into the fucking lottery?
No, why would I get tickets for that? I live nowhere near Boston. I couldn't go. Well, I live 6 hours.
What are you talking about? You can drive there. It would be like me driving to Miami.
I can't swing that.
Right. I tried to get tickets and I didn't win the fucking thing, so now we're going to have to buy them secondary. I think I'm going to make the trip up.
Oh, that's fun. No, yeah. I'm not going to go with that. I'll save my money for the 2023 PGA, unless it snows in April and then we're going to get taken away. It's going to move to Valhalla.
Dude, so you're, how many years are you going to be? You're like 5 years younger than me?
Yeah, I'm 35.
Oh, no, you're 3 years younger than me. Okay. So do you remember the April Fool's Day blizzard that came through back in, it was like 97, 98.
Which one?
Well, no, but I mean, like, no, the legit blizzard that came through on April Fool's Day. And it dropped, like, I know you get way more snow than I did in Boston, but like, yeah. It was like school was shut down for fucking like a week and a half, 2 weeks, because all the snow equipment was put away.
Bro, you're talking to a guy who once was sledding on his birthday on May 10th.
That's disgusting. Why do you?
Yeah, 8 inches.
Why do you stay there? You know you can move.
You know, school systems are pretty good here.
There's lots of good school systems.
Finger Lakes are a beautiful area. And honestly, the golf scene here is actually pretty good.
It's good, but you can golf. Only play golf 4 months a year.
Well, it's a glorious 4 months.
I can play at 12.
While I move on. I agree with Morikawa. Let's.
Yeah. That's okay. Not sorry. Go ahead.
All right. LVP of the year. And I took a different approach. I'm going to go first on this. This okay. I took this more of just like most disappointing.
Yeah.
DJ was really disappointing this year.
That dude, that's who I got. Like, I was gonna break okay, your balls. I was gonna break your balls about Ricky, and just to break your balls about Ricky, but DJ is you're 100% right. So it's absolutely the LVP.
So he won the Saudi. Other than that, though, I can't name a single tournament where he was even remotely close to winning.
No.
Just never in the mix.
No.
Which is just like he had that torrid stretch last year where he should have won the PGA.
I know.
Won the Masters, won the Tour Champion. Like the well, he didn't technically win the Tour Championship.
He won it.
He won the Tour Championship. But yeah, like, I mean, he shot 30 under at TPC Boston.
Yeah.
Lit that place on fire. And he was completely irrelevant this year. Like, he had a T8 at the Open. He had a T6 at the BMW, but he lost by a billion strokes to Bryson and Cantlay. He was out of it. T10 at Palmetto. Other than that, though, just
and the T10 at Palmetto was like
yeah. And what's bad about DJ though is it was all with his putter, like his ball strainers were bad.
But he even went through a bad stretch with his putting. Him and his brother couldn't figure that shit out.
Yeah, I think that was around Workday. Lost like two, mm-hmm. lost like 10 strokes putting that week. Jesus.
Yeah, dude, it was bad. Dude, I remember the stretch where they completely misreading everything.
Yeah, but after that, he gained like 10 strokes of the Tour Championship and lost like a billion strokes
to
a degree.
I can't wait to see this upcoming year. No Greensbrook. What is that going to do? I am super stoked for that.
That's going to be very, I forgot about that. That's going to be very interesting.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, maybe we'll fetch Paulie Poodle to, you know, find out who's been using Green Ring Book and who.
We tried to have Paulie do one thing for us like fucking 10 months ago to see who we agreed on at DFS, and he didn't even do that. Fucking
Paulie. Well, no, that's my fault. I stopped sending the info. That's
what the hell?
I got lazy. All right.
Sorry,
best major of the year.
It's the PGA.
Of course it's the PGA.
Of course it's the PGA.
That was
scene with that crowd coming behind Phil on 18 just after COVID. Like, everybody felt alive. Everybody felt normal. It was fucking 200-1. Like, unbelievable storyline. Like, fucking great tournament as a whole. Like, it's not even close.
Now, I'll say this. It was the best venue of all of them. I mean, besides the Masters. You can't touch the Masters. But of the other three, it was the best venue. Weather conditions were perfect that week. Like, perfect as in wind, chaos. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because the PGA usually isn't the major you think of as, like, the toughest. You know, unless they go to, like, Bethpage Black or something. But, no, it was tough conditions. The only complaint I would have about it, the back nine was kind of a snoozer because Phil put it away early. Well,
No. All right,
I'll take that back. Brooks and Phil were going back and forth in front nine, and then Brooks choked it away around the turn. I mean, Phil was up five with like five holes to go. Like it was over.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever, dude. I loved it. It was fucking great. It was great theater. Like, I loved it.
I agree. I will say though, for a leaderboard standpoint, just like chaos, the US Open back nine was better.
Yeah.
You had like at one point I thought six different golfers were gonna win. I thought Brooks was gonna win at one point. I thought Rory was gonna win at one point. I thought the real winner of that tournament, who should have won, Bryson, was gonna win.
The real winner.
You're telling me Bryson's up one, nine holes ago with two par fives coming in.
I don't trust it. Do you trust him anymore like that?
No, I've seen so many back nine 40s plus for him.
He's like me, fucking by hole 14, and that fucking fourth or fifth gin hits me, and I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he doubled the par 5 13th when he hit into a Stella Artois box.
Yeah,
not great, Bob. I agree. It's the PGA. Like, gambling aside, which I had a good PGA. We'll talk about that a little bit. The fact that Phil Mickelson won, like when you see just something magical in golf, as a fan, like take gambling aside, we don't get that sometimes in golf. Like it takes something really truly something to like get me to like feel something for like an event I'm watching.
Agreed. Hideki was a close second, man. It was really cool to watch Hideki fucking win the Masters. Mm-hmm. That was cool. But
that was, you know, it got a little nervous at the end there, but
I
knocked that a little bit just because that was, he basically put it away on Saturday. It was pretty much over until he gacked it away.
So you still got it close, man.
It did. All right. Best non-major tournament of the year.
All right. So the Ryder Cup. Is that cheating?
Yeah, it's cheating.
I figured you'd say that.
All right. So, Ryder Cup excluded.
All right. So I'd say I love the concession.
You know,
it was a new golf course. It played hard. Like, the greens were awesome. Like, I really enjoyed it. I that's why I was like, this needs to be, like, it wasn't a gimme golf course. Like, it wasn't a birdie fest. Like, it made golfers think. You still had to be kind of, like, I loved everything about it. I loved the
concession. Yeah, what was good about concession is it separated the wheat from the chaff. Like, if you were bad, you were bad. But if you're more a cow or a hobbling, like, you're playing well, it rewards you. Yeah, there were birdies. Yeah. That didn't make my list, but that's a good pull. I really enjoy concession. They're probably, well, I think the WGCs are pretty much dead at this point.
Right.
So I don't think they're going back there, but I really enjoyed it. Like, I think it was hole 13 or 14 with that crazy, like, you know, just runoff area and guys were ping ponging back and forth. That was fun.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Fun to see those guys struggle.
Absolutely.
For me, I mean, Riviera is always the best term of the year for me. And it was a great finish.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Homa, looked like he was going to win it. He missed a 2-footer. On 18, just seeing guys like and you just nailed it right there, just like struggling to get par, and that was why the Houston Open was going to come.
Oh, so fun. Like, I know,
that's an honorable mention one.
Me too.
Wyndham, I have a newfound appreciation. That was a fun tournament too.
Yeah, it was better than normally is.
Well, I mean, it was a good back nine. You had a six-way playoff. Henley choked at the end. It got really firm on Sunday too. That was one that, like, it's usually a birdie fest,
maybe I have a bad memory of that, because I'm pretty sure I had one or two. Did I hit a ticket there, or did I lose a ticket?
Yeah, you had Kevin Kisner.
At the Wyndham?
He had Kisner at the Wyndham, like 40-1.
Which is I feel like I've lost a couple of playoffs this year.
Oh, yeah. We've come, as we'll talk about our worst beats, which actually one we get to right now.
Sure.
We've come very close to having... I mean, we had a good year.
We did have a great year.
Yeah. But we've come very close to having a massive year. So, all right, why don't you go through, how about some of your worst beats of the year?
The Zozo was bad.
Why? Like, you had a decky.
Oh, that was talking about last year.
No, dude, January.
Listen, man, you didn't specify that shit in the fucking email. I couldn't remember when the season started or ended. I knew it was like September at some point.
Now, January 1st to now.
I don't know. Why don't you go first? Let's go.
All right, fine.
I got a lot of second places. Yeah.
I mean, look, Sam Burns 101 Genesis when he was in by three. That's a rough look.
That's a bad one.
That was bad. Cam Smith at Northern Trust, that hurt.
That hurt.
Yep, that and just seeing him just blast out of bounds.
So you knew it was over. There was no drama.
Bryce in a BMW hurt too. He should have won that five different times in the playoff.
Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, he it was a, like a 7-hole playoff of Cantlay. He missed like a couple five
footers. Fuck yeah. I forgot about that shit.
That was a bad one.
Bad one.
That was a bad one.
He got a good number on Bryson too, remember?
It was 35.
Yeah, it was 35.
The world was on Bryson 35, and it was a bad number.
Oh, my God, I forgot about
it. And we all should have got paid off for it, and fucking Cantlay, who I bet top 10. That was another theme. The stretch where I just bet, it was like five straight tournaments I had a positional prop on a guy. And he ended up winning.
Oh, my God.
It was too late in the outright. Matthew Wolf at Shriners, that hurt, too.
Yeah.
That was another one where I had Sungjae top 10, and I didn't bet him outright. I bet Wolf at, like, 51. There was also that, at the beginning of the year, there was a six-tournament stretch where I was 1 week too early on everybody. That was super annoying.
Yeah, that was
fun.
You were angry, Steve.
Yeah, but the worst beat of the year... Valspar, Keegan 8-1. That was heartbreak.
That was my number one.
Because you know what? He was sniffing. We knew how it was going to end.
I know.
And he missed a 4-footer on like 14.
Oh, and he put it in the fucking water.
And then he put it in the water after that, and that was it. He missed a 4-footer on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I think he lost
gonna,
by.
You said it's going to come back to bite him. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, I think he lost by one.
He did. Two birds.
That was too bad. All right. Why you go? Worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're all basically on the same things. Like the one with Keegan lost was the hottest for me. I included the Zozo from last year. I don't care. Still fucking hurts and it counts for the season.
that was a rough one. I think I was.
You were on JT. I was on Rob. And then Cantlay came out of nowhere and sliced both their throats from behind and put them in the Dexter body bag. God, I'm so fucking bad about that one. The Keegan, and I can't believe I forgot about the fuck. Like, that's the thing with the bad beats. Like, I bury those things. I'm fucking Irish Catholic. I'm very good at repressing and compartmentalizing things. So that Bryson one was real bad. I was very upset about that. Because
we also had Jeff Nagels texting us, like, start, like, because he wanted to make some point about Cantlay.
Yeah.
We're like, dude, not stop. Now. He's like, please. Why? What are you doing? We both had Bryson.
Stop. Yeah.
Please stop texting. He didn't know. It's fine. Nagels, we're all
so. Yeah, all right. I think we were both on. Were we both on Brooks and Louis when Phil won?
I was late to the party on Brooks, but I got him at 30. Like,
after so I think I was.
I was on
Brooks because I think I remember texting you like, "Hey, I'm gonna flip and bet it on Phil." And you were like, don't fucking back down. And I was like, fine, fuck it. And I basically canceled out the bet with another bet on Brooks. I didn't end up making shit on
it. No, because that was – Brooks was bad and he was 50, PGA. And you're just like, I'm just going to bet. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I realized he had it. I was like, all right, I got to scrap. I got him at 30, so I was like, all right, I'm
back. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that was bad. All right. Best wins of the year. You go first.
So – Rob at the U.S. Open. It was a very, very fucking heavy bet. Plus,
you planted your flag on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I planted my flag on that. The two wildest were Matt Jones, first round leader and tournament winner.
That was huge. I forgot. I completely forgot.
Yeah, and then Sun Kang, 125-1 first round leader.
Just a troll bet.
But it's not. I even gave you explanation. I told you it wasn't a troll bet. He plays well on fucking Thursdays for whatever reason. And it was that type of course. And listen, it worked out.
Shriners, right?
Yeah. The Ryder Cup, bro. How good of a Ryder Cup did we have?
I didn't count the Ryder Cup, but that was the one where everybody was like, all the smart guys like, we're going to go Europe. And we went on this program. We're like, you're stupid. Lay the juice. Who gives a shit? Yep. And the U.S. just rolled.
And we smoked matchups. And, like, I mean, that was one of my, like, so obviously I hit bigger because I've hit longer bets and stuff like that. But as far as, like, consistency and fucking, like, calling it, like, I don't think I lost. I think Xander lost me a fucking matchup, of course.
Yeah, on Sunday he blew something for me, too. Him and, who blew, what's blew it? I think Berger. No, Berger ended up pushing on something because I think Fitzpatrick hit, like, the junk or something, 18 to push.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a very profitable Ryder Cup for us.
Yeah, I love that. And then, I don't know, man, dude. I mean, some of these first-round leaders, like, dude, I think it all blends together for me, man. And those first-round leaders are long shots. You saved me with fucking Siwoo. Like, I never would have forgiven myself if I didn't bet him on the American Express. Like, Like that was that was 80 to 1. 80 to 1. Yeah. Like we think about these things. Like I always laugh at the NFL. Like they make these parlays and it's fucking 15 to 1. I'm like, 15 to 1. Doesn't even make my dick move. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, well, he'd be like, oh, you know, here's my long shot, like, player prop, 5 to 1 on first touch. I'm like, yeah. That's the thing about golf. Like, if you bet 5 to 1 on something, you're shamed.
Yeah, shamed. Exactly.
And every sport, you hit 5 to 1, you're a hero.
Yeah, exactly.
We're crazy people.
Yes, we are.
No, you're right. I remember that Siwoo podcast very vividly because I saved it to the end.
You did.
And I'm like, and Siwoo 8 to 1. You're like, oh fuck, I gotta bet him.
Yep.
Fuck. And that was so great. Like, you buried that putt on 17, fist pump, and we're just. I was like, because on 18, like, yeah, water all the way down the left. Mm-hmm. Like, just please,
just don't. Get there, baby. Just get
and
there.
And Cantlay almost took it from us that day.
I know. He's a soul like snatcher.
62.
Soul snatcher. That's what.
Yeah.
He is.
Oh, no, because he hit that long putt on 18 to tie him. Oh my god! And that was in the midst of I was a week early. And
a week earlier.
I think I bet Cantlay the previous week. Like, this is not happening, and it worked. It worked out fine. Yep. I have a couple like major like, but not major prop, but like major championship props that they were very notable to me. I middled the winning score of the Masters.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
That was really sweet. I went on this program. I was like, all right, 11 under is going to win, bet accordingly. And I found 12 and a half on one book and like 8.5 on the other. I was like, I'm just going to see what happens. That was a big bet. And then I took a book to the woodshed at the PGA Championship for the round scoring props because they didn't look at the weather report.
You smoked them.
Oh my God.
That was awesome.
So, to recap that one. Everyone got their ass kicked on Friday. Just big wins. And then it was the same forecast on Friday. And I caught a book hanging all these like under par round props. I'm like, I'm betting the over on every single one. And I think one of them, I think I went like 22-6 on Friday.
Yeah, it was insane.
I went, and then they overreacted the other way. And then the wins come down. I think I only went like 10-6 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they didn't know what to do. So they hung it around like even par. And I remember the guys going off in the morning got really calm wind conditions. Mm-hmm. And the guys in the afternoon got their ass kicked. So I bet under on the guys in the morning. And I bet over on the guys in the afternoon. I went 8-0.
Yeah, it was like Kramer's like first half unders like for college basketball. Like it was a beautiful thing.
And then right after that, I went into a big slump. So that's hey, it.
Listen, good thing you had the bankroll for it to withstand the big slump.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, like that's what happens in golf, guys. Like, you know, it comes in waves and it goes, but you know, when it comes, like, you know, you end up hitting big and there's no sweeter feeling than just hitting winners, hitting props, like making bold calls and like, you know, because there are it's really flashy to hit winners, but like as we kind of described here, like there's a lot of props you can bet in order to make money. Like you bet stuff in order to keep the lights on, and when you hit a winner, you know, enjoy it. It's fun. Yeah, I mean, I hope this year we kind of showed you guys that
we hit a lot of winners though. Like I wish we should go back and figure it out, because here's the deal: coming up for this next season, I think I'm gonna do a podcast Twitter handle. That way we can track our shit, because that's what everybody else does, and you gotta do what everybody else does if you want to be taken seriously. So I'm gonna have to start tracking it. And
all right, well, we're coming in hot, so
coming take in a break, hot, baby. Let's go.
Coming break, and then we'll talk about something you don't want to talk about.
No, not even in the slightest. So listen, when did sports betting become so rigid? I am butchering these tonight. Sorry, sponsors. Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in the speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. So head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself there. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app that will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed from what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone that you know via text, QR codes, and links among other methods. No money is transacted on the app. It's purely competitive. So next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch and go to SoBet.io. And so you can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. So let's go back to our roots of betting with SoBet. Go back to SoBet.io, that's SoBet.io today, to join the revolution. And of course, don't forget to go download our SGPN app. I'm pretty sure, Tuesday? It'll be out tomorrow. So the boys are doing a $500 free roll for Thanksgiving Day DFS football for those three fabulous NFL games. But it's $500 free roll, man. So go. It's free. It's free fucking money. Go put a lineup in. Go.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to ignore your in-laws and just sweat your DFS line, you definitely should get into that.
Absolutely.
All right. We are going pretty long in this podcast, way longer than I thought it would be. So we are going to contrived BS bullshit match, which I'm going to bet just because, listen, it's golf and it's on and I'm trying to stay on brand and, you know, that's what we do. But all right. So the format, I don't even really know the format. I have not been able to find
just head to head, right?
Just head to head. But so they're only doing 12 holes.
12 holes. Yeah.
And I don't even know what holes they're doing. Whatever.
Fine. Whatever. It's head to head, 12 holes at the Wynn Las Vegas course, which from what I saw from my room looked very fucking nice. But yeah, it's a resort course. They're going to tear it the fuck up.
Yeah. So I'll give a little background. So this used to be the Desert Inn golf course, which basically was a flat piece of property. It actually used to hold the PGA Tour Tournament of Champions there before they moved it out to Hawaii. It also, I didn't even know this was Shriners just to have a rotation of golf courses. This was on it. In 2000, the Desert Inn closed. Wynn Properties ended up buying it. They brought in Tom Fazio to basically create this luxurious golf course for their hotel. And they brought in Tom Fazio, who basically does Tom Fazio things. He brings in a bunch of bulldozers. He starts creating a bunch of unnatural stuff that looks, doesn't even fit the area. And, kind of like what he did with Shadow Creek, where basically it looks like you're playing in the Pacific Northwest. He had a plant about 8,000 trees. He created a bunch of lakes and creeks. And then basically his goal was to make it look like you're playing some sort of oasis, all highlighted with a giant waterfall backdropping a par 3 18th, which, hey, listen, if you told me I was hitting into Niagara Falls, I wouldn't even know it. So no, I'm kidding. It looks completely fake and unnatural.
Of course.
Look, if you want to drop $550, go play a really nice golf course that is pretty much no nonsense, well conditioned, good services, good amenities. It's for you. It's not really my cup of tea. It's pretty boring layout. A lot of it is just north south. The layout kind of reminds me a little bit of Firestone.
No one cares about this golf course.
The thing. It's not going to come into play.
It's not going to come into play. It's 12 holes. These fucking two idiots fucking wasting our time on Friday. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be live betting the holes. Whatever. Just because I can see who's coming out where. Who gives a fuck? I think this thing is what's wrong with golf. Who gives a fuck? They're capitalizing on the wrong shit. They're not promoting the right shit. And this is the bullshit they're doing. No one's going to watch this shit. No one. Yeah. This is going to do a terrible fucking number.
I agree. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of buzz. I mean, I'm not on social media, so I don't.
There's no buzz. All right. Even golf Twitter's fuck off. If golf Twitter's telling you to fuck off, what do you think Jim from fucking Idaho is going to watch? Not this.
Yeah, I don't know. The other ones at least had celebrities.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
This is contrived. Everybody knows this bullshit that you're going for their PIP money. Who gives a fuck?
And that's the thing. It seems like this whole rivalry has been
bullshit. They were fucking fine at the Ryder Cup, man.
Yeah. Well, I think originally there was legitimate beef. Brooks got into it with him because he did not like his pace of play. He was annoyed. Bryson started going after him about his physique and everything. But then I think once the PIP money came out and they realized that it's like, ever seen Man on the Moon with the Andy Kaufman movie?
Yeah, with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, so Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman basically had the fake feud, but everybody thought it was real. This kind of feels like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Fuck it. Who are you taking? Let's get
all right. Done. Well, I mean, you mentioned it. Like, there's no tricks in this thing. It's just one-on-one, head-to-head. And, I mean, usually my MO for the season is, well, it's match, but I'm just going to take the underdog. But, I mean, Brooks is not a big underdog. So there's no point. There's no value in doing that. And I just look at Brooks lately. And there's a theory that he purposely tanked the fall series. I don't buy that bullshit to begin with. Why would he do that?
There's no reason for that. No,
there's no reason for that. I mean, what I saw was a guy who, over his last 12 rounds, lost 0.8 strokes to the field, just in everything. He's losing strokes to his ball striking, losing strokes to the greens. Dude, like, for a dude who doesn't like to practice, seeing him grind on the range.
Yeah, this is not a great sign.
No, not a good sign. And I mentioned this to you about a month ago, and you kind of poo-pooed it, but I don't think Brooks is cooked. But I think we've seen the best of Brooks. Like, he's over 30, and he's got the body now of Jason Day. Like, all the injuries.
Oh,
okay.
Fine. Whatever. Fine. We're already running late. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Bryson. And I got -115.
Oh, that's what I got.
Yeah, I'm just going to take Bryson. I think.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah. He's the better player.
Yeah, agreed.
Whatever. Like, there's nothing to it. And, like, I mean, I didn't have anything else offered for, like, props or anything.
No, because they're all garbage. Does he get a hole in one? Just live bet the holes, watch it. Guys would be able to watch it and figure out who's got the momentum, who doesn't. Make the smart bets.
Exactly. Okay. So, spend Bryson.
That's as much time as I ever want to spend on this piece of shit.
All right, then we're done. All right, you got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, well, we'll be back next week for the Hero World Challenge. Cool. We'll do one show on Tuesday. I like the Hero. That's
I'm actually excited for it.
It's like the All-Star game, kind of. I like it. You know, that star-studded feel. Even my boy Henrik Stenson, who's, by the way, is defending champion.
I'm aware. His number's pretty long, too. It's like 30.
I'm talking a lot about Stenson next week.
Oh, boy. All right. Maybe we get some Red Bull Vodka Steve for that one. Get you really excited.
Probably not.
All right. So, for Steve, you can find him in our Slack chat. You can find me on Twitter, Boston_Capper. Steve, have fun shoveling snow.
Play golf tomorrow.
Bye, buddy.